Thank you, Blessing Njonga. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Monday, September 1st, 2014. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Sandra Nyaira.
And I'm Sithandekile Mhlanga.
Among our top stories this evening,
Lesotho Prime Minister asked for Southern African peacekeepers to be sent to his country following an apparent coup attempt over the weekend as President Robert Mugabe and Jacob Zuma of South Africa lead efforts to address the situation.
Well, I don't think they will tolerate it, military coups or the military takeover of power. This is not the first time that we're seeing such a situation in Lesotho. We had a similar situation in 1997-98.
Suspected thieves break into Chief Justice Godfrey Chijikausiku's offices at Mashonganyika building and got away with his desktop computer, a television set, among other values.
We have reported the matter to the police, and we are actually very grateful to the prompt reaction that we've received from the police. They've already attended the scene of the crime.
And loss-making Air Zimbabwe needs $368 million to operate effectively and return to servicing international roads such as the London Harare.
President Robert Mugabe and his South African counterpart Jacob Zuma are combining efforts to try and reduce tensions in the mountain kingdom of Lesotho after a bloodless military coup on Saturday. Mr. Mugabe is the new limited SADC chairperson, and Mr. Zuma heads the SADC tracker on defense, politics and security that tackles regional instability. Mr. Zuma was today meeting Prime Minister Thomas Tlabane to discuss the situation in the mountainous enclave, which is entirely surrounded by South Africa. Mr. Tlabane said he fled to South Africa after an alleged attempt by the military to take over the country of about 2 million people.
There are reports that South African special forces helped him escape, but officials in Pretoria told Studio 7 that they had no role in his escape. However, Lesotho Defense Forces spokesman Major Ntlele Ntoyi denied there have been a coup, insisting the army's actions were merely aimed at disarming policemen. He accused the police of plotting to arm youths from Mr. Tabani's old Basotho convention to enable them to disrupt a march planned by Mr. Metsing's LCD party today. Mr. Mugabe had dispatched Defence Minister Sydney Sekeramai and Foreign Affairs Minister Simbarashe Mumbengegwi to Pretoria for meetings aimed to diffuse tension in Lesotho. The SADC Defence and Security Troika, which includes officials from South Africa, Namibia and Zimbabwe, met Mr. Tlabane yesterday.
Political temperatures have been rising between Tlabane and Metsing and within the coalition government in the tiny kingdom since June, when Mr. Tlabane suspended parliament for allegedly trying to dodge a vote of no confidence. Spokesman of the South African Department of International Relations, Clayson Monyela, tells the Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that Pretoria will not tolerate a coup, but at the moment Mr. Zuma is pursuing dialogue.
That was a meeting of the SADC Troika on politics, security and defense, and the ministers of South Africa, Zimbabwe and Namibia, the ministers of foreign affairs, took part in that meeting.
What was agreed at that meeting? Any resolutions?
Previous statement later today on the outcomes of the meeting that President Zuma is having with the Lesotho leaders.
But how is the situation in Lesotho at the moment? Do you know?
I don't know. I'm not in Lesotho. I'm in South Africa.
Because what we had heard was that the army was insisting that there was no coup.
We are not in Lesotho. We are South Africa. We can only tell you what's happening in Pretoria.
We also understand from newspaper reports that South Africa actually dispatched its special forces to rescue the Lesotho Prime Minister. Are these reports true?
There is no truth to that. It's a lie. It's no such.
That was the spokesman Clayson Monyela of the South African Department of International Relations, speaking there with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Pretoria.
National University of Lesotho political scientist Tlohang Lesi tells Blessing that the army seems to be digging in and the situation is anything but normal.
It's very tense in that we are not exactly sure of what is happening. I mean, we are not sure of who is in control as we speak, because the Prime Minister and his coalition partners are reported to be in South Africa holding talks under the leadership of President Jacob Zuma of South Africa. But officially, there hasn't been any communication to the public as to who is in charge. So sometimes you hear from different radio stations, people talking. Sometimes it is from the ABC, that is the Prime Minister's party, and from the Basotho National Party. Sometimes you hear statements being made by people from the Lesotho Congress for Democracy. So we are not really sure who exactly is in power. But according to Lesotho protocol, the most senior minister is supposed to be the one who is in power now.
National University of Lesotho political scientist Hlolang Lesti is speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Maseru.
Executive Director at the African Public Policy and Research Institute, Martin Rupia, tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that South Africa has boots on the ground.
I think to a certain extent there are some boots on the ground, although people would like to see dialogue and a political solution, you know, being arrived at. But certainly we gather, you know, from newspaper reports, there were forces in Ledibrand, which is a town near the border, that was able to deploy special forces and pull out the prime minister just before, his house was attacked. But to then deploy forces against the military force, which he has refused to, accept, political authority, I think SADC is thinking twice.
Lastly, what impact would this have on the region, economic-wise?
Well, Gauteng, part of South Africa, really gets its water from Lesotho. So that may make an impact, if sanctions are imposed or if people decide to blow up, the Katse Dam.
That was Dr. Martin Rupia, retired Zimbabwean Lieutenant Colonel, speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Pretoria.
Blessing Zulu also reached political analyst Charles Mangongera, who says SADC will not tolerate a coup, adding he's confident the soldiers will return to the barracks soon.
Well, I don't think they will tolerate it. It's got a natural or at least a historical aversion to military coups or the military takeover of power. This is not the first time that we're seeing such a situation in Lesotho. We had a similar situation in 1997, 98, where there was some kind of military uprising, but this was quickly quelled, particularly by South Africa. South Africa has got a historical, interest in terms of what happens in Lesotho, because geographically, those two countries are sort of intertwined. And therefore, South Africa will make a very clear statement and they will go in there. Just like what they have done, they were the ones that brought the Prime Minister out of the country to bring him out of danger.
Independent political consultant Charles Mangongera speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare. We also reached independent political analyst and member of the South African Communist Party, Zenzo Ngomo, who says the constitution of Lesotho needs to be overhauled to find a lasting solution to the country's history of political turmoil.
We have seen the Prime Minister there dissolving parliament, dissolving cabinet, and appointing a new interim structure. If you look closely, there is a serious weakness with the constitution of Lesotho. But I think for now, we have seen this coming. And we have even seen the president of South Africa, Jacob Zuma, having some meetings with some groupings in Lesotho. So we have seen some weaknesses, particularly if you take how SADC handled the question of Zimbabwe. There were serious weaknesses there that SADC showed. But I don't think they would want to continue with those weaknesses. I don't really think that Mugabe will be the factor here. I think what will be the factor will be more of how SADC is going to work on the issue. The direction that the SADC might take is the one that will lead to an early election in Lesotho. That's where also a solution lies. But I think that is part of the deliberations we will see as days, weeks develop, because I think SADC, before they send in the armies, I think they will start at the level of a political negotiation.
That was independent political analyst and member of the South African Communist Party on the line from Johannesburg in South Africa, Zenzo Ngomo.
Mr. Thabane of Lesotho has already asked SADC to send its peacekeeping forces following the apparent coup attempt over the weekend. N.A. de Samonyane Tsekele told reporters today that an intervention is needed.
Lesotho, a small mountainous country encircled by South Africa, has gone through several coups since it won independence from Britain in 1966. The United States has called for a peaceful dialogue and respect for the democratic processes in the kingdom, while the UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon has called today for respect of the constitutional order in that country. The ZANU-PF Politburo will again this week take up the issue of factionalism that appears to have worsened following the entrance of First Lady Grace Mugabe in active politics. Returning from China yesterday, President Robert Mugabe blasted the feuding factions and took exception to ZANU-PF officials in Harare who are objecting to his wife getting a party position in the city. The feuding peace two factions, one led by Vice President Joyce Mujuru and the other led by Justice Minister Emmerson Mnangagwa. And the media has not been spared in the fighting, particularly the Herald newspaper, whose reporting has been criticized by party spokesman Rukari Kumbo. We reached MISA official Nhlanhla Ngwenya for his take.
We, as observers and readers of the media, would only believe or would like to believe that what we read is a reflection of what's happening. It would be good for those that feel that the state media or the Herald has been reporting impartially to tell us what the other story is that the Herald is missing, so that at least there is a balanced picture of what they are complaining about. But suffice to say that his complaints are a reflection of the consequences or the ramifications of a ruling party controlling particularly the public media, because if that ruling party has its own problems, internal problems and internal fights, all camps and all groups within that ruling party would also want a share of the cake and a share of the space in the public media. These are the ramifications of allowing the party to control all these media outlets that are supposedly public media outlets. So those that are in charge of those the public media would obviously use their office to block other voices and so forth. The only solution to what Rukari Kumbo is talking about would be having an independently run public media institutions, which institutions do not report to a single ministry but report to parliament under clearly laid out parliamentary processes.
MISA official Nhlanhla Ngwenya in Harare with VOA's Ntungameli Nkomo.
For perspective, Ntungameli turned to political analyst Nkululeko Sibanda, who is in England.
It does seem to me as though that ZANU-PF has reached a point where, just as the MDC disintegrated on the basis of the house spouses interfering in the politics of the party, I think that ZANU-PF may be slowly seeing its steady but sure demise on these grounds. I think that these fights are not going to be resolvable because in the meetings, people may agree, but they will invariably see it as Mugabe being petty and being personal rather than maintaining any sense of objectivity at all.
Political analyst Nkululeko Sibanda speaking with Studio 7's in Ntungameli Nkomo from England.
The Judicial Service Commission says suspected thieves broke into Chief Justice Godfrey Chidiawsiku's offices at Mashonganyika building last night and got away with his desktop computer and television set, among other valuables. Ivan Chifera has details from the capital.
Judicial Service Commission Secretary Justice Rita Makarau told a press briefing that the burglary in the highly secured building was discovered this morning. Makarau said police are investigating how the suspected robbers managed to sneak into the building and get away with the Chief Justice's property.
We have reported the matter to the police, and we are actually very grateful to the prompt reaction that we have received from the police. They've already attended the scene of the crime, and they have commenced their investigations into the matter.
Yausiku is still to comment on the burglary. Makarau said this was the first known such break-in into the judge's chamber. She, however, said This would not affect court matters pending before the Chief Justice. Chigao Siku is chairman of the Judicial Services Commission. In another matter, Air Zimbabwe's acting board chairman Eric Harid told Parliament's Transport Portfolio Committee today that the national airline requires a $368 million capital injection for it to function effectively.
We need to have funds for aircraft refurbishment, and we need to join or to rejoin, I'll say, the IATA clearinghouse, where we were taken out at the time when Air Zimbabwe had stopped flying, and we are looking at $2.1 million for that.
Harid said the airline, settled with a $300 million debt, requires the money to replace an aging fleet and pay debts to critical organizations such as the International Air Transport Association. Harid said 7 of the airline's 10 aircraft were grounded and the fleet was too old and expensive to maintain. Acting CEO Edmund Makona said fuel was the biggest cost driver in their operations, adding modernizing the fleet should be prioritized as it would drastically cut down operating costs.
Boeing do indicate, for example, that on the Boeing fleet, on the Boeing 767 and 737s, the design service objective life, which is the operational life in terms of economic life, is 20 years. Air Zimbabwe's aircraft are beyond that.
The senior manager said the airline's biggest advantage was its safety record, adding they are putting in place measures to pay off debtors so that they can resume flying to destinations like London, where threats to seize planes over outstanding debts loom. Currently, Air Zimbabwe flies to domestic destinations like Vulawayo, Victoria Falls and Kariba. The national carrier also flies to Johannesburg. Air Zimbabwe, which made a $44.7 million loss last year, last realized a profit in 2003. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Ivan Chifera.
Joining us standing now is Plaxidus Jeremiah, who is in Silver Spring in Maryland. She is attending the Southern African Community USA or SACU reunion, which began on Friday with a number of events, basically seeking to bring people from Southern African countries together to discuss issues that concern them, in particular the issue of business and how to do well in America. Welcome to the program, Plaxidus.
Thank you, Sandra.
So what was the main thing that was happening today, the main event, the highlights? Can you just, you know, give us a breakdown?
Today's event was a networking of business people or entrepreneurs. The purpose of the network event was to provide the Southern African community in the U.S. with the seemingly basic but important skills that are necessary as people navigate the corporate and social world. This is a follow-up to the Southern African Business Expo, which normally takes place in May on Memorial Day weekend or on Africa Day sometimes. This is also a platform to cultivate opportunities for potential and current entrepreneurs or businesses to meet prospective clients and partnerships and form partnerships. It was also aimed to provide opportunities to share ideas, network, and encourage innovation within the Southern African community
yes.
in the U.S.
Thank you. What else came out of the meeting which you can say delegates can practically, you know, use to boost their or initiate their businesses?
The highlight of it all was a presentation from a guest speaker with an expert in human resources and in administration, business administration, Mrs. Mercy Chogoguza, who is from Zimbabwe. She was just sharing ideas on how to navigate in the business industry, in entrepreneurship, in helping each other, just uplifting each other as Southern Africans. As well as the event that I saw taking place, people were exchanging business cards so as to form partnerships if possible or to get deals or leads.
Would you say many people from Southern Africa have been able to attend this meeting, Plaxidus?
Yes, they did. Starting from the over the weekend, starting from Friday with the fashion show, there were a lot of people that attended. On Saturday, there was a picnic. A lot of people attended. And even today, a lot of business people from Angola, from Botswana, from DRC, Lesotho, Madagascar, Malawi, Mozambique, Namibia, and so on, including Zimbabwe.
Yes, and could you say there were many from Zimbabwe?
Yes, actually, there were so many. The majority were from Zimbabwe and South Africa, and a few people from Zambia, Malawi, and Tanzania.
Thank you, Praxedes.
Thank you so much.
Several former members of parliament say they are planning to take government to court following its failure to settle outstanding allowances a year after the 7th parliament ended its term. The former legislators who spoke to Studio 7 today said the government says it does not have money to pay the allowances of up to $15,000 each. One of them, Tandeko Zindimkantla of Gwanda North, said they are seriously considering taking the matter to the labor court as former government employees. Labor experts say the disgruntled former legislators will win the matter if it is handled by the Labour Court. Mkandla tells Studio 7's Gibbs Dube they have tried to resolve the issue amicably without any success.
Well, the fact of the matter is that the parliamentarians from the 7th Parliament have not been paid a single cent, despite the fact that the Parliament was dissolved more than a year ago.
So now, have you been making some inquiries trying to find out exactly what is taking place?
Yes, we have some of our colleagues also in Harare. I think they make inquiries. And as it is, I've just been chatting to one of them. He's also amazed that Parliament, we understand, got $900,000. And it is said it's for the 8th Parliament. How they started with the 8th Parliament instead of clearing what they owe the parliamentarians from the 7th Parliament beat us. Those guys have been told that there is no money. They've been told that the Minister of Finance is working on it. We really don't know what is happening because there is no straight answer that comes through from the Minister of Finance and Parliament.
Are you going to take any legal action to recover this money?
If they prolong for much, much longer than it has already been, well, I believe on behalf of myself and my colleagues, we may be forced to look at the legal route because those monies really belong to us.
That was former Gwanda North lawmaker Tandeko Zindimkandla speaking with Studio 7's Gibbs Dube.
Former Kariba Member of Parliament Cleopas Machacha says they are slowly losing hope of getting their outstanding allowances.
We are just waiting for them to pay us.
So are you making any inquiries about the money or you have just given up?
We have got some representatives who are doing the follow-up, but the answer that they are getting is that the government is bankrupt. They don't have money to pay us. Once they have money, they will pay us. So we are just waiting to see when they will pay us.
We also hear that the 8th Parliament has been allocated some money for allowances. What can you say about this, taking into account that you have not been paid?
Well, if you promise something to someone, you have got to fulfill the promise. We are still waiting because the minister promised us some money, and he said that money was put into the budget. So we don't know what's happening.
I was talking to some of the former parliamentarians who are saying that they are seriously thinking of approaching the Labour Court about this issue. What is your opinion on that?
We just thinking because once we have some representatives, they've got to go and negotiate and see what's the position of the outcome of that man.
That was former Kariba lawmaker Cleopas Machacha speaking with Studio 7's Gibbs Dube from Kariba, Mashonaland East Province.
The Greater Harare Association of Commuter Operators says life will be much harder for them following the opening today of another toll gate between Rua and Marondera on the Harare-Mutare Highway as the government unveiled two new toll gates. Jonga Kandemiri spoke with the association spokesman Farai Muza.
These toll gates which have been opened, especially Harare-Marondera, The Harare Marondera, it is a distance of about 75 kilometers. Our vehicles can make about 6 trips on daily basis, whereby which means the money which we were having as our cashing has been reduced by $3 multiplied by 6, which means it's about $18 to $24 in a reduction of what we were getting on daily basis. This means that even on our service delivery, it is going to be hampered because we can no longer service our vehicles efficiently because we are no longer having enough money or enough cashing at the end of the day. We're expecting that these targets would be outside dormitories which feed the CBD.
Do you have plans to register your concerns with the Zinara or the Minister of Transport?
The doors of the Minister of Transport, they are always open for us. He mostly welcomes us when there is any problems which might incur in our industry. We as well approach him when time comes.
That was Greater Harare Association of Commuter Operators spokesman Farai Musa speaking with Jonga Kandemiri.
Zimbabweans are celebrating the national cricket team's recent success after years of doom and gloom. But there's still a long way to go before they get to the good old days. Reporter Michael Kariati tells us why.
While the nation is celebrating Zimbabwe's memorable three-wicket victory over the world's top-ranked ODI team, Australia, the battle is still far from over, as the Chevrons need to win against South Africa Thursday to remain with a realistic chance of qualifying for the final of the triangular series set for Harare Sports Club Saturday. In unbeaten 58 from captain Elton Chigumbura, coupled by 30 runs from Prosper Utseya, saw Zimbabwe notch out a first win over Australia in 31 years, but that might count for nothing for the Wolves to go through to the final should they lose to South Africa Thursday. But for Zimbabwean cricket fans, what happens now will no longer count if they are overjoyed by the victory over the Aussies. Stephen Maponga thinks Zimbabwe has done more than what was expected from them.
The first 10 months we only played one game, so it's an achievement.
The game between South Africa and Australia on Tuesday will set the tone for the remainder of the triangular series campaign, as it will leave Zimbabwe with what they have to do Thursday to ensure that they sail through to the finals set for Harare Sports Club. At the moment, South Africa lead the table with 9 points, while Australia are second with 5 points. Zimbabwe are rock bottom with 4 points. The defeat by Zimbabwe saw Australia slide down the pecking order from top of the ODI rankings to fourth. The Premier Soccer League was on break this past weekend to pave way for the NetOne Wallet Cup semi-finals. Dynamos and Triangle will meet in the final after Triangle overcame Chicken Inn on post-match penalties. Chicken Inn coach Joey Antipas, whose team lost out 5-3 on penalties after a 0-0 draw in regulation time, thinks his team should have wrapped up the match in the 90 minutes of regulation play.
I thought that we should have wrapped it up within 90 minutes, but unfortunately we did not.
Dynamos had some form of revenge after beating Haumain 2-0 after having been dumped out of the Mbada Diamonds Cup by the same opponents last season. In the English Premiership, Manchester City, who are top of the table, have slipped to third, with Jose Mourinho's Chelsea now on top with a maximum 9 points from 3 matches, followed by surprise packages Swansea, who also have maximum points from 3 matches. Chelsea plundered 6 goals past Everton for a 6-3 win on Saturday. Liverpool, who hammered early pacesetters Tottenham Hotspur 3-0, are in third position. So here are the full weekend results. Burnley 0, Manchester United 0. Manchester City 0, Stoke City 1. Queen's Park Rangers 1, Sunderland 0. Newcastle 3, Crystal Palace 3. Swansea City 3, West Bromwich Albion 0. West Ham 1, Southampton 3, Everton 3, Chelsea 6, Aston Villa 2, Hull City 1, Tottenham 0, Liverpool 3, Leicester City 1, and Arsenal 1. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Michael Kariati.
Thank you, Michael. Unfortunately, time is not on our side, Zita, but we have time just to recap our top stories.
Yes.
We have Lesotho's Prime Minister asking for the Southern African peacekeepers to be sent to his country following an apparent coup attempt over the weekend.
That's all we have for you today. Signing off is Thandekile Mhlanga, and remember to stay tuned.